2 years ago, Americans watched in horror as a crisis unfolded at the Kabul airport.
She was tear-gassed and beaten.
Images of thousands desperate to escape Taliban oppression filled our news feeds. More than 80,000 Afghans made it to America. But the story didn't end there.
It was very cold. There was no power, no heat.
Who would help our newest neighbors? I'm Andrea Smartin. In Stranger Becomes Neighbor, you'll hear the stories of some remarkable refugees who left their homes and their dreams behind, only to start over from zero.
Their only possession was three blankets.
And you'll meet Americans who stepped up to help them.
You want me to come when you deliver your baby.
What can one person do in the face of an international disaster decades in the making? That's Stranger Becomes Neighbor. Find us at kslpodcast.com, follow us on Apple Podcasts, or anywhere else you listen.
Never seen the sky so blue. The birds are singing, I got nothing to do. Hey, hey,
hey, hey. It is a sunny day.
Sunny day now. My pocket's empty, my cupboard's bare. But call me illogical, I just don't care.
Hey, hey,
hey, hey.
The KSL Greenhouse. Information and great talk about your home, garden, and your lawn. If you love perennials, can't get enough help on landscape design, or just want to keep your lawn and vegetable garden pest-free, grab a pen. It's the KSL Greenhouse on KSL News Radio.
Good morning. Thank you for joining us for the KSL Greenhouse. Maria Chaleos, Ton Bettis with you this morning. We are taking your calls 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500. Wanted to start the morning and talk about the tomato apocalypse. Everyone's talking about it.
Yeah.
Is there a tomato apocalypse?
There has been all summer. And
would you really call it an apocalypse? Because my tomatoes look great.
A lot of local growers, that grow acres of tomatoes, have lost so many that they've had to import tomatoes from out of state. Now, when you see that, there is a sign up saying that we don't have enough local tomatoes, and so if you want them in bulk, we've had to bring them in from California or Colorado or wherever it is, you know, as the case may be. And it's just the reality this year. And some local growers have had up to 70 to 90% losses. And so they have, if you want to buy two or three for a salad or a sandwich, mm-hmm. those are available, but we don't have them available for canning.
Okay. So people have been losing their tomatoes. There's no doubt about that. That's the reality of it. But there's been some misinformation as to why that is happening.
Yes. There, over the last week with the heat, with the combination of the heat and the media getting wind that a lot of our local tomatoes are dead, that caused this firestorm, that there was out in the media that the 107 degree temperatures mixed with a virus all of a sudden killed all the tomatoes.
Mm-hmm.
And that's just not the case.
That's not the reality.
It is not. The tomatoes have been declining all summer. It started in mid-June, and we saw the first cases of this in late June with Roma tomatoes. And Mike Karen and I went out to two or three locations in southern Utah County and dug tomatoes. And we noticed that they were quite healthy tops that all of a sudden declined, but they lacked a lot of root establishment. And then we sent samples, not just Mike and I, but extension agents across the Wasatch Front sent samples up to USU's lab. And what the lab had found was that maybe a third of the tomatoes had a disease called curly top, which is a virus that is spread mostly in late spring, mm-hmm. not now. And then the rest of them, so the other two-thirds, had various root diseases, Pythium, Phytophthora, Verticillium, that were probably caused by cool weather. So we finally got our tomatoes in early June, and then it was wet for 2 weeks.
Mm-hmm.
And that cool, wet weather and the cool soil made the tomatoes more susceptible to these root diseases, and so they went down. And so is there this evil virus that the communists have unleashed in the last week with the communist caused 107 degree weather? No, there's not. But it has been happening. But I think that when I talked about that, oh, Chicken Little, the sky is falling, we kind of got into that attitude and it picked up steam.
That mentality.
Yeah, just in the media and people, and we've been getting calls. And so the people that have tomatoes planted later, and when they got through that June rain, so mid to late June, or the tomatoes were planted, say, on the south side of a home where they had a lot of reflected heat and the soil was warmer. And that's where I'm seeing that people still have a lot of healthy tomatoes.
Mm-hmm. But a lot of us still had our tomatoes, they were later coming on because of that heat.
Yes.
That doesn't mean they're not going to ripen.
July, we had a lot of 100-degree days. And then again, we had a lot of 100-degree days this last week. And so anytime you're above 90 or 95, that either slows or halts the development of the tomatoes and causes the blossoms to fall off the plant, self-abort. And so with the cooler weather coming, we should be seeing more tomato set and more tomato ripening so that we can get, for what tomatoes are left, we can get a crop.
Yeah, my tomatoes, like I said, have been great, probably because I was one of the late planters, right? So it paid off for me this year.
I know of a number of home gardeners that have tomatoes. You know, Dave says, oh, mine don't maybe look as good, but I've got them. And I think that's the general consensus. It's early, no caffeine yet. So, but at least they have tomatoes. And the ones that are coming on do taste fine. And I've had a few bowls of salsa and a few things. Mine were actually taken out because I planted too early again, you know, that early June planting date. But that's kind of what's going on. And there's been some articles that have been online and news stories and things. And there's not this virus that hit just in the last week.
I think it's so funny because mine 2 weeks ago, I had a ton. Now there's still just a ton of green ones. And so hopefully this next week I'm going to have a ton
again. Yeah, within a week to 2 weeks, they'll be back.
Right. I'll have to bring you some more.
We ate those.
Did you have a bacon lettuce tomato sandwich?
And I did. I made my wife BLTs.
There's nothing like a homegrown tomato in a BLT.
Yes.
The flavor is so much different than a store-bought tomato.
It is. I ate the last of the cherry tomatoes yesterday.
Okay, so what did you think about that particular variety?
It was a good tomato.
The big rainbow heirloom beefsteak.
Mostly yellow, some red striping and coloration. And that is a good tomato.
It was a pretty tomato and it was a good one to
eat. And sweet.
All right. Number to call with your questions. Phone lines are open 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are. And this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.
Thank you for spending your Saturday morning with the KSL Greenhouse. Maria and Ton with you. Phone lines are open, 801-575-8255. You can text us at 57500. Our next listener, Ton, would like to know about arborvitae, and are they a good tree?
Can be. There's several varieties and three different species that we grow here, so it depends on what they need.
Mm-hmm.
So the standard Eastern red cedar is what we call it, Thuja occidentalis, is the one we usually see that gets their narrow, the green narrow juniper looking things, but they're thicker. I always remember Latin names and never common, but they're a narrow arborvitae. Those are the 90% of the times what people grow and they're fine. They may want to wrap them with some sort of burlap wrap to keep the snow from splitting them out. That's their main downfall. But there's another arborvitae called Green Giant, which is a hybrid that will get up to 40 feet tall and about 10 feet wide, which I've seen around, and it seems to do okay. The ones that they might want to be a little careful with are less common, but they're the yellow-tinted arborvita that they're hardy on the Wasatch Front, but not our mountain valleys. But 95% of the time, as long as you find the size requirements you need, they're fine.
Okay, next listener says they're looking for a tree that will give them some good shade, grow relatively fast, but won't have bad roots that pop up all over their grass down the road. It's going to be planted near their back wall, so they don't want it to go get too wide.
There's that dichotomy
again.
We want
that perfect world, don't we?
Fast growing.
I understand perfectly.
The faster growing,
yes.
The more shallow the roots. And so especially if they're putting it next to a building, you know, those arborvita that we talked about, mm-hmm. maybe like the green giant arborvitas that would get taller and narrow. There's just not enough information there for me to say this particular tree will do it. Because I'm not willing to say, oh, put a cottonwood in or put a willow in or even put a mulberry tree in, because they're just going to get too big. And even though like a mulberry may not crack the foundation, if it grows into water pipes, it'll crack those very mm-hmm. easily.
Next listener wants to know, they say their hollyhock seed pods have holes and the weevils are coming out of the seeds. Is there anything they can do to save the seeds from weevils, or is it too late?
They probably would need to do some spraying. The weevils don't get all of the seeds, but they are a continual problem. They're more usually a nuisance, but they may, and I don't know if this is a good thing because they've got flowers, but download some fact sheets on hollyhock weevil to see what you can do, but there aren't a lot of pesticide recommendations.
So does that mean that, like, if they can get some of the seeds out, are those seeds okay?
Yeah, or? They're fine.
Okay. So and, not, you know, all the seeds are going to be
bad. Even if they,
bad.
You know, though, there might be 50 to 70% loss, but the weevils usually don't get all of the seeds.
Okay. Next person was given a Concord grape plant from someone's yard. How deep should they plant it? It's been in water and has new leaf growth.
Ugh. It's a wrong time of year. I didn't do that because I'm disgusted by Concord grapes. I was more, it was a weird way to express that it was the wrong time of year to be
doing
this.
Stop being so
this.
Emotional yes. in your answers.
So the Concord grapes should be started in late winter to be planted out in late spring to early summer.
Mm-hmm.
And doing that now, it may not get established enough before we get cold and it will kill it. And so I don't really know what to tell them. Because they could try to root it out and then put it, you know, somewhere for the winter and bring it back out. It's just not a great time of year to be propagating grapes.
Any tips for getting rid of squash bugs?
Yeah, you need to start before you see 60 of them on your pumpkin.
Oh.
You know, there's not a lot of sprays out there. The permethrin, if you don't overuse it, maybe something mm-hmm. before the plants go into bloom. But as those squash are getting about 18 inches wide, you need to start monitoring. And so you'd lift up those leaves and look for the eggs and squish them. Look for the adults by pouring water over the top of the plant and see if they crawl up. But early monitoring makes a lot of difference. If you wait too long, you're had, because no matter how many you pick off, there seems like there's always more to take their place. Dave tried not growing squash for a year or two. Do you want to chime in on that, Dave, and see how that went for you? Oh, he's coming in while we're, but
okay.
We'll let Dave talk about that. But there's not a lot of good solutions besides starting early and good monitoring. So
okay.
Yeah,
he's
Dave's
coming in.
Coming.
We're giving him a second to come on in.
I gave up growing squash because of that.
Okay, Dave. What was your solution?
All right. Well, I fought this battle for years, as Ton knows.
Mm-hmm.
And I finally said, you know, I just don't have the time to sit there and go out there every night and do battle with these squash bugs. So, and they were taking out anything, pumpkins, squash, any cucurbit, you know, that what I was growing, even took out my cucumbers. So I decided to give it a year and just not plant them, because they overwinter and they'll come back. I mean, if you plant again in the same spot where you've had them before, the squash bugs, that's just like planting their buffet for the mm-hmm. next year, right? So I let it go a year, and then I said, no, I'm going to let it go two. And so I went 2 years without growing any of those plants, and this year it's been fine.
Okay. Just wait. Who has that patience?
Well,
good job, Dave. You can't even wait till Christmas. What are we talking about?
I tried planting pumpkins for 4 or 5 years running, and I didn't grow them for 2 years. Finally put a pumpkin plant in this year. No squash bugs, but it went down to virus. And so I didn't have the luck, but that waiting period sometimes is what you need to do. And you hope that the neighbor's gardens are far enough away that they don't just crawl into yours as soon as you start growing squash again.
Right. And I'm lucky because I have one neighbor that gardens, but it's on the far opposite side of the yards. And he may grow one squash plant. And he's not had issues. We're friends. I know mm-hmm. what's going on in mm-hmm. his garden, and so it's been safe and it's been good. I mean, I'll be fine until they randomly find me again. Mm. When that happens, I'll take another break.
All right, thanks, Dave. Next listener would like to know, Tom. They have a ton of golden delicious apples falling off the tree. They're wondering if it's the heat.
Could be. If the golden delicious apples get a little bit stressed, that may cause some fruit drop. It could be a delayed reaction because there was not complete pollination. If the tree load is too heavy, the tree will sometimes drop. So, I mean, there were several reasons. And so those golden delicious apples should have been thin so that they had one apple for every 6 inches of tree, of branch. And so if there's a ton of apples on there and the tree is stressed, yes, that can happen.
Okay. Next listener wants to know, would it be okay to plant cabbage this time of year?
They could try it. It may not get to be the size they want. And so if they want, sure, but they may not get cabbage depending on how later season goes.
Okay. A few seconds before we take a break. Jill and Sandy wants to know if she has a Lenten Rose Frost Kiss Moon Dance that's done well. She planted in this, looks like she planted in the spring, and she wants to know, is there something special she should do with it for this fall?
Just let it go.
It's going to be fine.
It will be.
Okay, we're going to take a break for the bottom of the hour news. When we come back, Sherry and Emma, you'll be up next. Number to call with your questions, 801-575-8255. You can also text us at 57500.
Let's dig around town with KSL Greenhouse.
Kick off fall with a fun, family-friendly stroll through the USU Botanical Center during the Scarecrow Walk, now through September 18th. Find scarecrows hidden along the paths, see the colors change in the Varga Arboretum, and celebrate the harvest season in the demonstration gardens. Find out more about this free event at usubotanicalcenter.org. Fall is such a great time to plant and change things in the landscape. Join Weber Basin Water for a fall perennials tour on Wednesday, September 21st at 6:30 p.m. The tour will give you ideas to use in your own landscape. Register at WeberBasin.com. And don't miss the annual fall bulb and native plant sale at Red Butte Gardens on Friday and Saturday, September 23rd and 24th from 9 to 4. Free entry through the amphitheater gates. Registration is not required. Now a look at this week's quick tip.
It's finally getting time to spray and kill that field bindweed, also known as morning glory. In lawns, purchase a product containing quinclorac. This product is especially effective against bindweed. In vegetable gardens, complete your harvest for the season and then apply a product containing glyphosate. The worst place to control bindweed is oftentimes in flower beds. Refer to the KSL Greenhouse Show YouTube channel. There's a video there on how to control bindweed in flower beds. I think you'll probably find it very informative.
You can also find the Dig Around Town calendar and more fun gardening info at kslnewsradio.com/greenhouse.
A stranger with a gun came upon two teens taking pictures under a rising full moon. But violence is only the beginning of this story.
Sometimes I thought, there are no miracles. Yeah, there are, and this is a big one.
I'm Amy Donaldson, and I've spent my career talking about how lives are undone by violence. The Letter is a podcast about how lives are remade. Follow The Letter at theletterpodcast.com or wherever you get your podcasts.